Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, there we go. Okay, having a little technical difficulty here in my chat room. We have Vicky in Greece already. Today's guest, that's waiting for him to call in. Here to talk about his film. And having a little technical difficulty. Just a moment, please. All right. Well, while we're waiting for Mr. Cole to call in, why don't we just have a little taste? There's a new film out, and it's called Made in Denningham. I predict this film will have a great impact on America today, in that it's about women's rights and the rights for equal pay, and it's based on a true story, which actually happened in England. And I'll give you a little synopsis. When we think 60s revolutionaries, the women of Denningham don't fit the cliches, but these women, funny factory girls, and they shook the spirit. They took the spirit and courage and achieved lasting social change. It's a great film with an all-star cast. Why don't I just, while we're waiting for our call-in, give you a little taste of it? I have the promo here. And we're just waiting for it to play.
Mr. Clark, is it my son?
For God, his protractor.
I don't want you doing it.
Thank you for your concern, Mrs. O'Grady.
Here he comes. Oh, no.
Women always come second until
we get equal pay, yeah.
This needs a leader, someone to inspire the girls.
What? You can do this, and you should. Now we've got all this unrest at work.
Unrest when you actually come out and strike.
This is about one thing, equal pay or nothing. Everybody, out!
What's going to have to do with me?
Get the banner up.
No, no, go!
I know the feeling.
Prime Minister, I don't think you appreciate the situation.
We need to tread carefully.
You're the best man in my cabinet. I often say that.
That's our fridge. What's going on?
This is being on strike. You run out of cash and you end up screaming at each other.
And you tell her to get her finger out. It's gone on long enough.
The time has come for all women to say enough. We will not accept this any longer.
I want to meet them.
The minister doesn't do that.
I am sick of being patronised. Set up the meeting!
It's amazing what you've done. I'm not sure me backing you makes all that much difference.
Makes all the difference in the world.
I have a first-class honours degree from one of the finest universities in the world, and my husband treats me like I'm a fool.
Don't give up.
Pay for women is right.
That's my girl.
What if Mrs. Castle says no deal?
How will you cope then?
Cope with women. Now don't ask such stupid questions.
Well, that's a little taste of the movie. Nigel Cole, where are you? Waiting for this great director to call in. But I saw the movie. It's fantastic. It's great. It's got an all-star cast that is just terrific, and that's what makes this movie so great. Let me give you a little background information, too. Okay. All right, Nigel Cole, I don't know where he's been all these years, but he's done a lot of great films that you'll know. First, you might have seen him from Saving Grace, Calendar Girls, A Lot Like Love, and $5 a Day. He's also directed a series of In the Wild celebrity wildlife documentaries, which include Galapagos with Richard Dreyfuss, Meg Ryan in Thailand, Orangutans with Julia Roberts, and the later won him a Genesis Award for PBS documentary. Let's see. Okay. Yes, further television includes Cold Feet, ITV's medical drama Peak Practice. The film opens soon. I believe it's November 19th. And I was hoping to have my guest online. Yes, it does open November 19th. It's a great women's hero film. And it's terrifically made. So let me just see here if I have any contacts yet from Nigel Cole. All right. Sally Hawkins is the lead in this. Also, great cast. We have Sally Hawkins. We have Andrea Riceborough, Jamie Winstone, Lorraine Stanley, Nicole Buffett, Geraldine James, Bob Hoskins, who did an outstanding job, Matt Aubrey, Daniel Mays. The cast list is fantastic. Now, I'll give you a little synopsis of the show, is that it starts out with women in the factory in England, and as you know, they were not. They were treated as day laborers, but they were skilled in what they were doing. It was a very skilled profession, but they were not being paid like that, and that was by Ford Motors Company. This was a true story of one woman's rise to make that happen. And, okay, I just want to get the chat room going. Hi, chat room. I see we have Vicky in Greece listening. Okay. All right, we have a lot of guests on. Betty Jo. Did you get Betty Jo? Okay, you're on the line. You know what's funny? I can't hear myself on this, and usually I can. Let's see what's going on. Can you hear me in the chat room? Can you hear me? Just speak up if you can, because I'm not getting any sound here. I'm actually not. Let me check the phones. Hello? All right. Let's change phones. All right. If you're in my chat room, please say if you can hear me while we wait for the call-in. There's our call-in now. Oh, good. Panic over.
Nancy?
Yes? Hello?
Hi. This is Joanna with Falco, Inc.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi. I'm calling with Nigel Cole.
Oh, he's there. Okay, good.
Yes, we're here. Sorry, we're a little few minutes late, but we're
all right.
Here.
A little panic set in.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We've got people, actually, just so you know, we've got people from all over the world listening right now.
Oh,
as
wonderful.
As far as Greece. We've also got movie icon Betty Jo Tucker listening. Hi, Betty Jo. Mm-hmm. And she's got a movie radio show as well. Nigel, are you there?
Nigel is here. One
okay.
moment. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Sorry about the mix-up here. Just trying to get my chat room up, and I didn't know if you were on or not. So I've been ad-libbing for you. Nigel, I've been waiting to ask you. I've got a lot of questions for you, Nigel.
Good.
First off, I saw the movie. I absolutely love it.
Oh, thank you.
And little did I know, you also directed a couple of my other favorite movies,
uh-huh.
such as Calendar Girl.
Uh-huh.
And also a lot like Love. But where... Nigel, tell me a little bit about you for my listeners across America and in Greece. Where did you start out, Nigel? Because it seems like out of nowhere, all of a sudden, all these films with your name on it.
Yes. Well,
give me a little background.
Where did I start out? How did it all begin?
When you were a kid. Were you a kid with a camera in your hand?
No, I was a theater guy. I came out of the theater, really. I wanted to be an actor. And I did a lot of acting and drama in a kind of semi-professional and amateur way. And then started directing plays. And I simultaneously had a great interest in photography. And it just kind of occurred to me one day, like a light bulb going off, well, if I like directing plays and I like photography, I really should be in film. But I wasn't a great film guy. I'm not a kind of film geek like many of the other directors I know. I didn't spend a lot of time in the cinema when I was growing up. I think I was more influenced by British television and the great kind of drama that one used to get, and I say used to, on British television. I think that was much more of an influence on me than the cinema was.
So you would say drama was more of an influence on you?
It was. And I kind of, you know, I went to the theatre a lot. I kind of directed in the theatre. And so kind of great performances and great scripts, you know, was where I came from. But I kind of, as I said, had this simultaneous interest in still photography. So I kind of put the two together.
Did you ever do any showings of your work?
Of my photography work?
Yes.
No, no, it was more a kind of hobby thing, but, you know, I kind of had all the cameras and all the lenses and used to kind of go off taking pictures as a teenager. So, you know, I kind of learnt my trade doing that. But I think most of all...
Well, that's because for our listeners who don't know about directing, uh-huh. which is the real eye for the actor,
uh-huh.
It is storyboarding. It is taking, you know, photos almost in your mind of how
yes.
you want the scene to play out. It's not just the acting that's being done.
Well, it's all storytelling, and, you know, you have to kind of bring all these disparate elements together to kind of tell your story. The script, the casting, the performance, the photography, the music, the costume. And one of the wonderful things about making movies is that there are so many different elements, and you kind of have to juggle them all. You
and
take
as
your
director,
eye off one.
Yes, as a director, you see, it's almost Steve Martin, a known mm-hmm. American comedian, once mm-hmm. said, "What is stand-up comedy?" And he said, "That is your lips moving and your mind racing ahead." So even while you're directing, Nigel, mm-hmm. you're seeing things that the actors don't know are in play.
Well, yes, but what the director does is he sees the whole thing. I'm the only one of the 120 people or so working on the film who is looking at the whole thing. I'm imagining the whole film in my head. But each actor is only thinking about their part. The cameraman's only thinking about the shot. The sound man's thinking about the sound, the costume about the costume. You know, but I'm trying to keep the whole thing in mind the whole time. And that's so important because, you know, each of the individuals on your set, you know, they only care about their one aspect of it. And I have to somehow drag everybody into the same film so that there's a kind of consistency and that make sure that everything that everybody does supports the story. And I think
it's
all about story. And I think, you know, most of what I learned about filmmaking actually came from being read stories as a child and then kind of, you know, growing
Which
up and reading them myself.
Which brings up another question about, by the way, Nigel, if I may call you that, sir.
You may.
The movie was so wonderful to watch. I went to the screening. It opened November 19th in L.A. and New York, I believe. Uh-huh. And I have never been so pleased to go to a movie and
go,
yes, this is what movies were all about. Now I remember acting and storytelling and compassion and feeling empathy with every part. And here comes my question to you, mm-hmm. because Bob Hoskins, as well as Sally Hawkins, did mm-hmm. a wonderful job. But one line in that movie really stuck out to me, and that is when Sally asked him, her character asked, "Why are you doing this?"
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Because my mother had to work so hard mm-hmm. to support us." And he saw that, and that was his empathy, that a male character
mm-hmm.
was like that. And again, you pull the reversal on me when Sally says, and I'm not giving anything away, mm-hmm. to her husband, "We supported you when you were on strike."
Yes.
"And we did everything still."
Yes.
So the men in your movie just make me want to cry. They're so wonderfully played.
Well, thank you. I mean, Bob, bless him. I mean, I've been a fan of Bob Hoskins all my life. But he's always played gangsters and hard men and, you know, real men. And I went to the very first meeting with him, thinking I had to talk him into doing the movie, persuade him to do the movie. And the very first thing he said to me was, "Nigel, I want to do this movie." I read the script and I cried. And I thought, oh, my God, you are Albert. You really do care. You know, you really are in touch with your feminine side. And he is, you know, he, more than anyone, I think, in that cast,
encouraged
us to kind of tell the story.
And for a big guy like him, and I believe he had, I think he always has that, a little bit of empathy towards women in
yes.
his films. Like, oh, I'm sorry, it goes right on that. His last movie, Mrs. Henderson Presents, where he was tough, but it's like you go, he gets us, he gets women. He gets it.
He really does, and he's like me. He just loves women. You know, you can tell. He just loves their company, and he loves being around them. So he and
well,
I go on
just
fine.
Well, yes, from your film Calendar Girls, which I didn't realize the bulk of work that you've been turning out just like recently, just Calendar Girls, again, touching. Women were strong, but men in it were sensitive. You seem to capture both sides.
Well, I like to, and I think, you know, that's why... I think that's what I could bring to this film as a man, because, you know, people might say, well, this is a film about women's empowerment and it's a woman's story. Why didn't a woman make it? But I think it's a film about women and men trying to get along. And I think I could kind of bring some balance to that as a man
and
make sure the male characters are still sympathetic and feel real, you know.
And the interesting part is this was... you just got on the chat room, hooray for Calendar Girls. And that's from the radio show Movie Addict, Betty Jo Tucker. She's a movie addict, so.
Oh, thank you, Betty.
You got from another radio show. Loved it. The other thing is, as in Calendar Girls and this movie, what I really liked is that as many stars as you have in this film, and you have so many, I mean, Sally Hawkins, Andrea Riseborough, Miranda Richardson, Bob Hoskins, Geraldine James. I mean, these are all my favorites over the years as I watched British television in America also.
Sure.
They've all been on British shows too.
Me too.
But these women, the way, and I have to say as a compliment to your directing, they were all stars, but there were no stars in this film. This was a cohesive work of art.
You couldn't pay me a nicer compliment, thank you. I mean, we try very hard to... balance it, and you know, when you're making ensemble films with a large cast, you know, you've got to make sure that every character feels real and feels authentic, because just one false note in the movie can ruin it. So you're kind of constantly struggling to kind of balance everybody's parts,
even with the smallest character.
I remember
the smallest character. One of my things is that I feel strongly about, but I have directed and. But one that I feel strongly is about is every character you directed had an integrity to them.
Yes, thank you. Well, I try.
From the smallest role on, I remember every role because
you
gave everyone their own integrity.
Well, I think when you have a cast as good as I got in this movie, you know, you kind of feel it's important to give each of those actors something kind of important to do. And to engage them in the movie by making them believe in their character, you know, and it just kind of seems so important that every actor gets up in the morning and goes, I can't wait to go and do that scene today because I have this really cool moment or I have this really great great speech or line, you know. So I try really hard to give all my actors something interesting to do and you know, kind of draw them into the project. But, you know, balance
yes,
it out.
And the
so
film,
that,
what
know,
makes
it,
the film so wonderful, Nigel, is that as I was watching it, I had to remember that this was in the 60s. Only the music, which was, the choice of music was excellent.
Thank you.
It's
obviously a great period for music. And
but
to
remember that this was in the 60s because it's so relevant still.
I think it's even more relevant today. And although... the women in my story scored a great victory for, you know, the equality of women. You know, that battle continues, and women still have a lesser value in the workplace than men. And, you know, we must still keep fighting for that and keep on improving that, you know. But I think beyond that, this story should inspire everybody, men included, that, you know, if you feel like you're being bullied or pushed around or patronized in the workplace or by government or by anybody, it is worth sometimes standing up and saying, no, I'm not going to accept this. And if you do it with enough commitment and if you do it with the solidarity of your co-workers, you might, like my women, just succeed and score a victory. So I think 2010 is a really good time to remind people that we must keep on fighting for the rights of everybody.
Yes, I would say, actually, the chat room is applauding you right now.
Okay.
They're saying, good point, Nigel. Yes,
yeah.
Everybody can enjoy the variety of point of view.
Well, just say no. You know, it's okay to say no. And it's, you know, it's okay to say, look, I will not accept this. And
which is a very valid point today in America. I don't know if you've been following our news, where bullying and profiling and it's just been prevalent today.
Well, and we're also driven by the profit motive, and we all kind of work for corporations who you feel who their only interest is in the dollar or the bottom line. And, you know, it's vital that we kind of keep an eye on our rights and make sure that we are respected and treated properly. And I think perhaps even more than 40 years ago, it's tough to make a stand. Because I think, you know, as society and life gets more and more complex, there's a feeling like it's not worth making a fuss. No one's going to listen. Why, you know, who'd listen to me? But no, what these women teach us is even if you're a small group of women and you take on the might of the Ford Motor Company, you might just win.
And I want to remind our listeners that this is a true story. This is based on a true story.
Yep.
And it is true, the bullying factor here. I didn't see it before, but I could see this movie appealing even to teens. I could see it appealing just in that you don't have to be a large person, you don't have to be a big person, you just need a voice. And more important, the people who encourage you, like the Bob Hoskins character.
Sure.
We
deliberately set out for two reasons. We wanted this movie to be seen by the most possible people. You know, we wanted it because I felt these women, these 180 women who did this great thing, deserved a celebration. They deserved a victory parade. This story is not well known in Britain. It's certainly unheard of around the world.
It's
well
known in Britain.
No one knows the story. They do now because the film's been a big hit. But you know, this story had been forgotten, and I think it's partly because women often get written out of history because men write history. It was partly because these women had very little vanity about them and sought no glory or recognition for what they did. They went back to their lives, they went back to their families and their jobs and carried on afterwards.
And how did you find this story, Michael?
It came up on a BBC radio show. I love radio, and the BBC kind of have a series called The Reunion, where they kind of talk about events that happened in the past and bring the protagonists back together. And somehow or other, they picked up on this story, and the producers overheard some of the women telling the story on the radio, and they were amazed that they didn't know about this story either. So, you know, we immediately kind of jumped up and went, well, this is going to make a great film. But I think because we wanted to throw a party for these women and celebrate their great achievement, because we felt like their story could inspire others to make a stand and stand up for their rights, we wanted this story to be seen by the largest number of people possible. And so we set out to make a film that everybody could enjoy. We didn't want to make an art film that was only shown in select cinemas in the major cities. We didn't want to make a film that really preached to the converted and people interested in that part of history. We wanted to make a film that would entertain everybody so that everybody would go and see it. And while you're being entertained, and there's a lot of humor and fun and excitement in the film that I think is, you know, very entertaining. And while you're being entertained, you know, you might just be inspired at the same time. And it seemed to me that that was a very good thing to do.
Nigel, this, I'm going to predict. I'm just going to be I hope not the first, because Miranda Richardson, Bob Hoskins, Sally Hawkins, even the other parts, I'm sorry if I'm leaving people out, the cast is so large, but every role, I was going down your list and looking up, almost 75% of your cast has been nominated or won an award in acting.
Yeah. Well, we're lucky. I mean, I thank the original women whose story this is for that, because I think every actor I approached read this script and said, I'm in. Everybody was moved by the story. And, you know,
and
normally,
even Miranda Richardson, as because she's wonderful, but you could see how she was giving, every actor gave everything to their role.
True. I think we were all inspired. And I think, you know, these women kind of put their heart and soul into their fight. And we wanted to kind of reflect that. And we all tried our hardest and did our best work because we wanted to pay tribute to these women. And normally when a director talks about his movie, he goes, oh, I always wanted to work with that actor, or I always wanted to work, you know, cast this actor. Often, you know, they're lying. Let's face it. Often in a movie, you cast the third or fourth or fifth or sixth actor you approach because the first few just say no and they're not interested. I think in this case, in this movie, everybody in that movie is my first choice.
Believe it or not, I know you only wanted to do 15 minutes. We have 4 minutes left. You were
going
to be a great guest. I just want to say the movie opens November 19th to everyone. You can go to www.madeindagenhammovie.com. They're also on Facebook, Made in Dagenham, and find out more of this movie. Nigel, you have a new fan in me and a new fan in my chat room. They love you in my chat room here. I predict this is going to be an award-winning film. If you do not get an Oscar for eight of the 10 most things you've done, the music, the period costumes, the acting, the directing, the script, there is an Oscar somewhere in there. There
I think, Sally,
in front of your name somewhere down the line, because if you keep doing films like this, what you're doing for your country as well, and just bringing back the art of filmmaking.
Oh, thank you. Well, it was a joy to make and a privilege to tell this story. And it was.
Is there anything you'd like to let the people know why you really want them to come out there and see this film? I'm going to go see it again, by the way. That's how good it is.
Well, there's one ticket sold.
there's more. I'm on my way to the Friars Club.
I think you know what really. The first thing that struck me when I started to work on this film was, you know, I went and listened to the stories of the surviving women whose story this is. And the first thing that struck me was what incredible senses of humor they had and how funny they were in the telling of their story. And I thought, well, we really should try and capture that. So I think what's special about this film is, although I think it seems to make people cry more than most movies, and you know, it's a real kind of two Kleenex film in the second half.
I didn't cry. I loved it. I cheered it.
Oh, good. I think it also has a lot of great humor. And there's a lot of laughter in the humor of these women. So I think it's a generous film.
You know what we call it here in America?
You laugh and
we
then
call
cry.
It a feel-good film.
Yes. Well,
that's
you know,
what we
one
call
should
it here.
Feel good about what these women do.
I felt, and also, it's an empowering film. In that everybody with the economy and the stress, you don't have to be rich to step forward. You just have to step forward.
Yes, and you might just win, you know, just like these women did. They didn't expect to win. They didn't expect that they could take on the might of the Ford Motor Company and win. And to their amazement, they did. We just went to the Rome Film Festival.
Whoops, 90 seconds, Nigel. Okay. You know what? I'm going to put you, or I'll talk to your press person, in touch with another radio show because she wants to get the word out in Colorado.
Oh, thank you.
She's ready to do that for you. Nigel, you've been I could talk to you for an hour. I should have scheduled more time. They said 15 minutes. There's so much more I want to know about
you. I'll come back on.
Made in definitely. Every film you do, you come on my show.
I will.
And by the way, congratulations.
Thank you.
No, I don't know if you know this, but you were chosen out of thousands of radio shows on BTR Radio as today's pick, sir.
Oh, great.
You were chosen.
Thank
they
you
only
for
chose
that.
About seven shows,
uh-huh.
And your show is one of them.
Excellent.
You're up there in the top. Just
oh,
so you know, today's
feels
pick.
Feels very good.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you to all your listeners.
Yes, thank you. And Made in Dagenham, a must-see film. This man is going to be taking away Globes, Oscars. You clear a shelf. I see it coming, Nigel. Just clear that shelf.
Home. Okay,
I'm
I will.
And thank you for being a guest on today's show.
We've had
Nigel Cole, director of Made in Dagenham. This is going to be one of this year's best films. Everyone,
if you love me,
go see it. Thank you, Nigel, and
see you.
Goodbye. And I'll let Allison know where the archived version of this is.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Excellent guest. Thank you, Nigel.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, everyone. This has been Comedy Concepts on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Nancy Lombardo. Thank you, everyone. See the film. It's awesome. Awesome. Thank you. And goodbye.